but I have students that have made it to the top, made it into penitentiary. I had generations of students out there, but for some strange reason, it still cost me a buck for a cup of coffee.
Well, go ahead with your testimony.
Where are you getting coffee?
I'm going to be extremely brief because the hour is late. I applaud this piece of legislation. It is also a privilege to stand with so many diverse organizations representing small business, nonprofits, and so forth. I myself, until recently, was executive director of Alaska Public Interest Research Group for a decade, and I dare say I could not have done that had I not already been a retired professor with access to the benefits of the teacher retirement system in that regard. We all know people who struggle with the issues of dealing with their medical bills, dealing with their prescription drugs. These are not artifices. These are not hypotheticals from somewhere else. These are our friends. These are our neighbors. The state, and just like I am, is aging. We're getting an older population, and we look to the legislature to try new things, to try to induce experimentation where there is a problem. I view this as a perfect example of that. If we look over the decades, of course, every experiment that the state of Alaska has undertaken through its legislature has not succeeded. Some have been failures, others successes. The permanent fund, a great success, a universal success by accounts of those outside our boundaries. I admire the sponsors and those who support this bill for putting aside ideological differences. We also at ACPIRG and at the Alaska Injured Workers Alliance are in dire need of health insurance benefits in order to attract and retain employees, whether they are in good health and young or not so good health. So I thank you very much for the privilege of testifying. I stand with the Chamber of Commerce and other groups and the sponsors and am in full support of this bill. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you very much. We don't see any questions, so we will head to the final person in Anchorage, Barb Williams. Okay, hey, thank you. Then we'll go to Valdez, and we have our last person by teleconference to testify today, Judy Miller.
Hi, this is Judy Miller in Valdez, and I guess I'm just kind of out there all on my own. I'm not working for a nonprofit. I'm interested in developing my sole source proprietorship. I'm healthy. I'm not old. I can't get health insurance. I would like to continue working independently, but chances are if some legislation like this doesn't pass, I'll bounce back once again to working for somebody else and trying to get under their health insurance and then getting squeezed out and keeping COBRA benefits going as long as I can until I'm forced to go back to work somewhere else, probably below my capacity. I think you could grow a whole lot of private business in this state if you could offer something like this bill. I hear all the problems that are out there in trying to pass the legislation, and I can appreciate that you probably don't want me, a sole source proprietorship, in your pool, because the logic is that if you open it to everyone, you'll get people like me. Now, I'm not sure what that means. I don't have substance abuse problems. I'm not the equivalent of the DUI person under driving laws. I would think I would be a desirable candidate for this pool, and I'm willing to stand up and hold up my hand and say, yes, I'll help support the older people or the people with problems who would be joining this pool, because I want to say I'm young. Maybe I'm not young, but I'm not old, and I am healthy, and I'm very interested in a vehicle of some kind for providing health insurance for people like me. So I support the sponsors of the bill. I thank them very much for their effort. I hear the problems that are being voiced about trying to get something like this passed, but I think some of the concerns are truly unfounded, and the lack of understanding exhibited by some on the committee really concerns me, because it's a problem. I don't think it's recognized truly for the problem that it is for people just like me. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Judy.
Thank you, Judy.
I can relate, being a sole proprietor before I came to Juneau. And it's very difficult, but it's worse. There are programs out there and policies that we can get singly, whereas what, like Representative Roper talked about, they're few and far between for two and above oftentimes. But we appreciate your testimony. Don't see any questions. Valdez, Representative Roper.
Mr. Chairman, maybe I could ask the witness if she's involved in any kind of a nonprofit status in her new venture.
No, my latest venture is I'm attempting to get certification under a Small Business Administration set-aside program known as Hub Businesses, which are underutilized area businesses. So I think there are probably a lot of people like me in Alaska in areas that don't have a lot of employment who would like to develop their own businesses, but no, I don't fall under the nonprofit group.
Okay.
Thank you.
The reason I brought that up is sole proprietors, under, if they meet the nonprofit qualifying entity criteria in the bill, they would qualify. I just wanted to see if she would.
That was a good question. Well, hearing no more and seeing on my sheets here no more teleconference testimony, and Representative Roper earlier passed me a note and noting that Katie Campbell from Division of Insurance is here, but she had marked she does not want to testify. We can go beyond her if no one has questions, and we can go to your amendment, or you can go ahead.
Oh, I'd like to. I have some questions of Ms. Campbell.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, she's a regular, almost member of this committee, so.
That's right.
Get a chance to everybody get to meet Katie, and she's our. One of the leaders. She's the head actuary here in the state of Alaska, is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my name is Katie Campbell. I'm the life and health actuary with the Division of Insurance.
Right, so on these issues, she's our main resource.
She's the one. We'll go ahead with your questions.
Right. Mr. Chairman, I was in receipt of a market share breakdown from the division, and I wanted to just verify some of those numbers with Ms. Campbell. In the small group market, and I don't have this for the members of the committee, so I just want to real briefly. It appeared that Premier Blue Cross had covered lives of 13,369, or about 55.9% of the market. Is that your recollection?
That's correct.
And the next in life would be Principal Life with 4,900 covered lives, Aetna with 2,100, United Healthcare with 24. And Trustmark Insurance of 1,500. That's top five in the state, and the rest are between 180, 10, 28, 32, 7, and 22 for a total number of the small group covered lives of 24,793. Is that about right?
Yes.
I mean, that's the stats I get.
That's about right. I guess there's a disclaimer that has to be made, where these numbers are provided by the insurance companies on a voluntary basis, and we don't have a way to audit the data on covered lives. We do check the premium totals to make sure they balance with their financial statements that they file. So to the extent that they're reporting the data correctly, yes.
If I might, Mr. Chairman, Ms. Campbell, one of the major criticisms of this bill is it might have an impact on the might have an impact on the current underwriters in the state. And if it was so broad in its concept of including basically all the small group covered lives, as well as the nonprofit, it may be enough to push underwriters out of the state. Is that kind of an argument hold any water, or have any substance to it at all?
Through the chair, I guess, I mean, certainly it's a possibility that there will be shifting. If you can't reduce the premiums, you're going to have people who are already insured that would move, you know, certainly. So that's always a concern. I couldn't really say if it's going to drive anyone out. I think the insurance companies probably would need to look into that themselves and determine whether it's worth it.
Representative Roper.
Well, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee and Ms. Campbell, I've been told by one of the underwriters in the state of Alaska, if they were this bill were to pass and they were to not win the bid, they may leave the market. Do you think that's an idle threat?
Is the sea heating up?
Go ahead and answer that one.
Answer me. <Yeah.
laughs> Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to get off the spot. I mean, in a conceptual basis, I mean, with, given the way the bill is drafted now and the size of the market share, I mean, I think there is some merit to that argument. I mean, because it's open-ended right now in terms of all small businesses that could be in the pool. I mean, would and that's one of our, and could you speak to that issue too? Maybe answer the question and go back and give us some background about our how our market share is and how our whole status is perceived by the insurance underwriters of this country, in Alaska, that is?
Through the chair, I think it's, if there's enough groups that transfer into the pool and they're not the insurer, obviously they're going to have, they're looking at a smaller base to spread their costs of operating in the state. I guess that's all I can say. And there's a margin at which they're going to make a decision whether it's worth it for them to stay in the Alaska market. About 2 years ago, both Employers Health and Guardian Life pulled out of the small group market in the state, and they were at the time the second and the fourth largest insurers in Alaska. When we asked them what the reasons were, it was because they just simply couldn't make a profit in the state. It just wasn't worth it for them to stay here, and they were having a difficult time competing. So, you know, I guess that's the answer to that. I think that there's potential for shifting with the bill. I believe that that's certainly potential when you form a pool like this, and I think probably the biggest concern would be shifting where you, in this particular case, this pool isn't operating with the same rules that the insurance companies would have in terms of deciding who's going to be insured under the pool. So you're going to have people the insurance companies would underwrite and rate up and maybe not write at all, like some of the individuals that would be coming into this pool, and so you could expect it to be somewhat higher risk. And I'm not sure if I answered your question or not.
Well, could you just speak kind of in a general sense to the members of the committee about the problem we have of attracting underwriters to write health insurance in the state of Alaska, and what those problems are, and how this might have any impact one way or the other on that market entry? Or kind of a general question, I know. But.
Through the chair. Well, Alaska, the entire state of Alaska, if you count every single person that lives here, is like a small city in California. So we're a really small base for insurance companies to operate in, and they need to actually sell enough business to cover fixed costs of operating here. There's a certain cost of setting up a business and paying claims and billing enrollment commissions. I mean, they have to just simply, they have to sell enough and have a large enough base to cover their fixed costs. So it's not an attractive market from just sheer size. And then also the rural communities and providing coverage in those areas has its own complications, I think. So it's not a real attractive market generally. And I will add that there was a GAO report, and Alaska is not unusual in terms of the number of insurers or the concentration of insurers in that small group market. We are fairly common, actually. There's like the top five insurers in the states basically write everything in that market. So.
In other states also.
In other states as well.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, and to pick up the tempo here. Ms. Campbell, I think are you in receipt of an amendment that is marked as I-1?
Members should have that on their table.
Did you have a chance to take a look at this amendment?
Just briefly, I got it right before I came over here. So.
Well, if I could have the indulgence in the chair to try to explain this to the members of the committee as well as Ms. Campbell and have her retain. If there's no other witnesses or anything, Mr. Chairman?
It doesn't appear that there are.
That she can help us in our consideration of this amendment. And Ms. Campbell, I looked at the baseline number of the 24,793 that you testified as a baseline, but then let me just tell everybody what this amendment is intended to do. My concern is, and the insurance companies basically have decided to boycott this hearing today. They're conspicuous by their absence. You might, all members of the committee, take note of that. Well, Representative Hines and myself have on several occasions had conversations with them. I'm sorry Aetna isn't here, but Aetna is the passive support of the bill. But at any rate, I do have a concern about with my conversations from the various insurers that if we don't restrict the amount of the size of this particular pool and offering, that we could run the risk of running an insurance company out of the state, which is something we don't want to do. So this is a first blush measure that I've come up with, and basically it's a formula based on the information that Ms. Campbell's division supplied me about the small group market, making an assumption of 25,000 covered lives in the market, and then multiplying that by the percentage presumed to be in the 19% range of uninsured people in the state that don't have insurance coverage elsewhere, this is always the big elusive number that we've been trying to get at for years. I even passed the bill on this, been working on this issue to find out who really is insured and is not insured in the state of Alaska, and who has coverage or has availability. But at any rate, I mean, we used, and you'll find it in the intent language of the bill, that there's a 19% figure. So somewhere around 19% of the people in the state aren't covered. So I'm assuming that in the small group category, for purposes of this calculation, that there's also 19% more of this small group category. So we take what we know it's covered, and we've grossed it up by 19%, because those are people that are not insured, but they would be part of the market, presumably, if those numbers are right. And then I've taken a number which basically is a plug number, if you will, one that from my business experience, but certainly subject to interpretation, negotiation, and understanding about its efficacy, is used 20% as a share of the market that would be of the small group market, which would be applicable to this legislation. And so the calculation is like 25,000 times 19% equals Y, and Y is 20%. Time of the market equals 6,000 lives. So you'll see in the amendment, on line four of the amendment, that the department shall set the limit of coverage of businesses as defined in the section to a maximum of 6,000 covered lives subject to the following.
Representative Roper, I'm going to interrupt you. You're very methodical, which is great, but we need to expedite it for several reasons. One, Representative Dahlstrom and Crawford have another meeting, which they must attend, and Representative and Dahlstrom is the
another
chair.
Another meeting?
No.
Yeah.
Yep. What meeting is that?
This is post-secondary education. It's a finance subcommittee meeting. 5 to 7.
Oh.
It happens.
No, Mr. Chairman. That's a finance subcommittee meeting.
Okay.
There. That's. And they blip. Anyway,
we're at 2 hours, my friend. No, go ahead.
No, we're not. We're not the right there. Anyway,
that?
I will.
Mention that to the chairman.
You can go right ahead. And please do mention that. The point here is that the formula is such that that's how it basically came up with the formula. But I think the drafter has not done this. In other words, 25,000 lives times the 19% times 20 equals 6,000 covered lives. So that would be the extent of the pool of which the the small business portion would be. So there'd be no restriction on the nonprofit qualifiers as qualified entities, but only the small business portion. Therefore, hopefully this would be leave 80% of the small business market available for private sector underwriting and allay their fears that this would be a problem. So however, what I'd like to do, Mr. Chairman, is offer this as a conceptual amendment because I think the drafter kind of stumbled the ball and didn't get my 20% cap in here. And what I'm going to ask the committee to do is take up this amendment and one other very quickly so we can have a committee substitute, lay the bill aside so we don't have to consider it today, let the companies look at the CS, and then bring it back up before the committee once we can ferret out the insurance company's official position on the bill.
Okay, before you make the motion, I agree with that idea. Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand how you extrapolated all those numbers, but I believe, and just anecdotally, that there's a much larger percentage of small business employees that aren't covered than large business employees. I think that until I can see those numbers, I would have to dispute your extrapolations there as to 6,000 lives is the limit of the size this pool should be. I understand your concern about not driving any of the insurance companies out of business in Alaska. But I also want to make sure that people that aren't covered today get covered or have the ability to get covered. And I think that your bill went a long ways towards doing that, but I believe that you're limiting it to the point now where it may not do I had hoped that it would do in the first place.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I say this bill could cover well over, I'm assuming nonprofits could be as much as from 6 to 12,000 people plus. I think we're looking at 18,000 covered lives here. I mean, this is a lot of people. So I'm trying to find the balance between what we can do in terms of meeting the needs of these people and then not rocking the boat in terms of the insurance underwriting market in the state. So, because if we don't do something like this, the chance of this bill even succeeding are about zippity doo da. Because I'm, for one, not willing to risk the ability of health underwriters to come into the state and stay here on a healthy basis.
Representative Crawford, response?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand what you're trying to do, but I would rather have a point where we revisit this if it does start realigning the market to the point where somebody is about to leave. I would prefer not to put these limits on ahead of time before we've ever seen whether it does start to realign the market.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this is, number one, this is not a pilot program in the bill. I mean, so and this is some experimentation, so we have to be careful. Number two, I would like to ask the committee's indulgence so we can put this in the CS and smoke out the insurance company so they'll come to the table and talk to us. That's what I really want to do here. So, and we're not moving the bill, and I'm not asking the chairman to do that today. So,
Representative Gatto on Representative Mokberg making the motion. He hasn't moved it yet.
It was a separate comment.
Is there another committee meeting?
Yeah. At 5 was economic development.
I'm sorry. I didn't know who wrote this.
What?
I thought Nancy wrote this.
5.
Was it your committee?
So there's several.
Oh, you need to go.
But I have two people with me. So.
That's the, okay. Yeah. I'm supposed to chair my committee at 5. Yeah, there's 3 people then that have.
Oh, that committee. That's a different committee. That's not a subcommittee.
No.
Right. Oh, okay.
What would you like to do with them?
No clout.
Well, if you want to take the help of the CS, we're not going to vote out of the committee, so I'd ask the committee's indulgence of accepting them. Then we can have another discussion later. Unless you want to accept the amendment. Then. If not, we can go on to other legislation.
You want to? It sounds like, but looking by faces, why don't we just hold the bill that we've adopted the CS, and we can hold till
Well, that's why I've asked the chairman to hold the bill. I don't want to ask the committee to move the bill.
No, I understand. I'm going to do that. So it sounds like we're going to adjourn and we'll bring these back up at the next.
Well, I mean, that probably won't get the insurance company to the table, but that's what you want to do. Mr. Chairman, I move that we adjourn the meeting. Non-debatable motion.
Non-debatable.
Right. Okay. So we have the secretary read the roll.
Okay, that's right. Secretary, read the roll for amendment. Amendment one, is that correct?
No, it's a motion to adjourn.
For motion to adjourn.
All right.
Representative Guttenberg?
Yes.
Representative Crawford?
Yes.
Representative Dahlstrom?
Yes.
Representative Gatto?
No.
Representative Brookford?
Yes.
Representative Lynn?
Yes.
Chair
Anderson? Yes. So that is.
Yeah, in one minute.
Believe me, it doesn't hurt.
We adjourn?
We adjourn?
It's a lesson in humility.
That's.